time for Wednesday's hour number two on Hashtag Daily K with your host, Peter Bint. Korean dramas, movies, and even lyrics. Why is the world paying attention to Korean stories?
From classics to modern masterpieces, time to dig deep into the charms of Korean literature.
On Check It Out
with Paul.
That's right, every Wednesday we have Paul Matthews, otherwise known as Mr. Matthews, or just
I'm not your geography teacher.
Mr. P.
Mr. Matthews, Mr. Matthews, can you read us a book, please,
P. Middy. We could call you P. Middy.
No, because Middy sounds like I'm just medium. I'm not very good.
All right. P extra large. Does that sound better? Doesn't sound any better, does it? You should have stuck and not twisted. That's the life lesson today. Don't twist. Don't gamble. Just settle for whatever you have, okay? That's what we're going to go for. You look very much like Santa Claus today, Paul. I think more so than you did when you were dressed up as Santa for this Christmas.
It's because I've got the proper beard now.
It's proper Santa-y, isn't it?
It's not quite white enough. There's a few white hairs in it, but
it is really full, though.
Yes.
What are we doing with it? Are we going to grow it out a little bit more like, I don't know, like one of those Hell's Angels or something like that?
No, I think I'm probably going to have to cut it back.
Uh-huh.
I've got a video shoot at the end of April.
All
so
right.
Certainly I think it'll be diminished by then, if not before.
How long?
It's just nice to have it.
How long has your beard been, like, as in downwards?
It doesn't go down because it's curly.
Oh, really?
So it just sort of, it becomes like an upside down halo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're like the opposite of an angel, then, is what we can discern from that.
You might think that. I couldn't possibly comment.
How has your week been? We're really running through the month of March. April's just around the corner. Any big plans, Paul?
Well, I'm working with the National Opera Company.
Are you still doing that?
I'm still doing that, yes.
That performance is beginning of April, right?
Well, it's sort of the second week of April. They're doing it for my birthday on the 12th, I think.
Oh, really?
That's the idea, to celebrate my birthday over that weekend.
Are you going to get to go and watch it, hopefully?
I mean, if they didn't give me free tickets
because
I'm working on it, I would be very shocked.
Okay.
That's generally the thing that you do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. If you work on something, you have the right to see the finished product.
Okay. And then if you introduce someone to work on it, do you also get tickets for it? Should I be offended?
It depends whether you were contractually obliged to be a part of it or not.
Okay. No, I wasn't. And I would probably not appreciate it as well. I don't know how to... I think I've seen half an opera in my life. Is it Nutcracker sometimes an opera?
It's usually a ballet.
Yeah, it was a ballet. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
It's not an opera.
That I've seen even fractions of an opera.
And you couldn't even make it through the whole of the Nutcracker?
No, because... I shouldn't say it on air, the reason why. It was fabulous, wonderful, at the Seoul Arts Centre. We've got Tigerish on board saying, good morning, Paul, how are you doing?
Good morning, very good to have you with us.
Is Paul a poor man's Santa then? No, not at all. Dragon, really concerned for your little tickly throat, saying, is your voice okay? Sounds like you might have microphone issues. No, it's all Paul voice issues.
No, it's a Wednesday.
There we go.
I've been working hard.
Hump day, pump day, jump day, indeed. Today, what are we tackling on Check It Out?
We got some poetry. Our PD Nim loves poetry,
and so really? Every
so often I try to give her a little bit of traditional Korean poetry, modern Korean poetry. In this case, we've got one of the most respected poets of the 20th century from Korea. We've got Gu Sang, and it's a collection of his poetry called Infant Splendor, translated by An Sonjay, or Brother Anthony of Taizé.
Nice. Gu Sang.
The interesting thing about this collection is it was published way back in 1990. I've actually got a copy at home.
Oh, wow.
But it's out of print.
Oh.
Which means you can't get it anymore.
Oh, so this is real, like, VIP special under-the-counter poetry.
No, because luckily Brother Anthony An Sonjay, because he has his own website and because he is so passionate about translation and poetry, He's put it up online. It's available for free for everyone to read.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, so the good news is today you don't have to spend any money, even though it's out of print. You don't have to, you know, go and bid for a copy at an auction.
Okay.
You can read it for free online.
Check out Brother Anthony of Tay-Tay's Anthony. Website.
Anthony,
sorry. How do you know if they say Anthony or Anthony?
You ask them.
Oh, I haven't met him, so I'm going to say Anthony. You have met him.
I have met him. I've met him a couple of times. He's a very nice man.
Have you met Kusang?
No, he's passed away. And
he's from the early 1900 period.
No, he passed away in 2004.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was born in 1919. He was born in what's now North Korea, Wonsan.
Uh-huh.
He was raised a Catholic, a very religious family. His brother went on to become a priest. He went to study in Japan, and... even though religion was a big part of his life, he sort of lost his faith for a while.
Oh, dear.
And he came back to the church in recent years, and we're going to see a little bit of that in the poetry that I feature.
Wow.
And it was difficult under Japanese occupation and also during the Second World War to get his stuff published.
Of course.
He ended up sort of working in journalism a lot. He worked in newspapers, became editor of a newspaper. He lectured on poetry. And after the Korean War, he managed to get more and more of his essays and poems published. And he very, very highly respected as a Korean poet.
Wow.
And I think if you'd ask a poetry lover on the street, who are the most respected poets of the 20th century in Korea, his name would come up.
Oh, interesting. I was listening to some news, and I really should have listened more carefully. There was a poet who passed away, and now his son is releasing some poetry that they found at home that hadn't been published.
Yeah.
And they've been hesitant about it because they thought the reason it hadn't been published was because maybe their father had deemed it not worthy or anything like that.
This is a difficult thing when it comes to inheriting an artist's work.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes there's a good reason why something hasn't been published or released to the public.
Right.
And other times it's just they've not had time or not had space. I know there are some writers, for example, Terry Pratchett, the very famous fantasy writer from the UK, before he died, he stated very clearly that his assistant was to take the hard drive with all remaining unfinished work and to basically drive over it with a concrete mixer.
I heard that. I mean, like, almost literally
did
that, right?
It. Yeah, because he was adamant, you know, what I've released is what I want the world to read
really?
And nothing else.
That's so interesting, isn't it? So, you know, I'm a very prominent artist as well. So when I, you know, come towards the end of my life, should I make sure I write a will specifically saying which episodes of Daily K I want, like, to be available for audio on demand and video
on demand? You've got no choice because they are publicly available. We're talking about private collections here. Do
so
you have a private collection
videos.
Of audio recordings and videos?
Yes, I do, and those definitely should not be published to the world. Tell us a little bit about Brother Anthony of Tay-Tay.
Yes, or An Sonjae, which is his Korean name. He's been a mainstay on the show. We featured short stories, novels in the past couple of years, but for a long time he was known more for his poetry translations as being one of the most prolific translators of Korean poetry.
Wow.
And he's actually translated 3 volumes of Gusang's poetry.
Wow.
As well as the work of many other poets. A lot of his poems, his short story translations are on his website. It's a fantastic treasure trove of information. And I love that, you know, we have this book. I'm lucky enough that I managed to find a copy a couple of years ago. But
you
other people
need to keep rubbing it in our faces, Paul, that you've got a copy and we can't get one now, all right?
You might be able to get a copy. I'm just
Where
saying
did
I
you
feel...
get yours from?
I got it from a book sale by the Royal Asiatic Society
Korean
branch.
That's why you get
all
your amazing swag, isn't
it? A lot of my amazing Korean books come from there, but the issue is once they sell, they're sold.
Okay, well, next time, because it happens yearly, does it not?
It's usually just before Christmas, sort of mid-November
okay.
or so.
Okay, and you come in and you talk about the swag you bought. This time, let's be fair and give a preview of when it's happening, okay?
Absolutely.
Get a bit of competition, Paul.
Oh, yeah, but I arrive early.
I'm going to arrive earlier.
I was the first person there last year.
I will be the 0.5th person. person there, okay? And okay. I'm going to buy this book of poetry. I'm going to get my hands on it. Okie dokie, we will get to our first poem. So is this collection like all linked together in terms of theme or anything like that?
Well, there are some connections. It's called Infant Splendor, so there are links to childhood, but there are also links to old age, to getting older, where he's sort of looking at himself as an older man and what that means.
Okay.
The first one, though, I think links very much to the title. The poem we're going to look at is called The World of Grown-Ups.
Oh, grown-ups. I remember when I used to think of, you know, all the adults as grown-ups. Now I am very much a grown-up. Let's check it out.
Don't mock me and say, why are you so sunk in thought? It doesn't suit your little form. The reason I am so shocked and dumbfounded and quite at a loss for words is, well, oh dear, well, is the fact that what you adults call life is so crammed full of lies. You shout justice, yet you act unjustly. You mouth love, yet you hate each other. You advocate peace as you fight and kill. I fear I am very impertinent, but as someone else has said, unless you regain the heart of a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And likewise, if you do not regain the heart of a child, you cannot escape the snares and quicksands of this lying world.
And that brings us back for part two of Check It Out with Paul, our Korean literature segment. Perfect song choice, I believe, for that poem. Because, yeah, when you said The World of Grown-Ups, I don't know why, but I was just thinking it would be grown-ups from a grown-up point of view. But obviously, if the title's The World of Grown-Ups, it's going to be from a child's point of view. It seems like a child is giving their thoughts on the world of grown-ups.
Yeah, it feels a bit double-edged. It feels like it's a child speaking, but also it's the older Gusang speaking through the child. At the same time, it feels like a bit of both.
Yeah, with some of the language, obviously this is a translation, but it does seem a bit advanced thoughts for a child.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I think children often speak the truth. And I think children see things more clearly sometimes than adults do.
That's undeniable, yeah.
I think it really captures not only this child's worldview, but Gusang's worldview. And it gives us also this glimpse of his return to religion. As I mentioned before, that he'd lost his faith, but then he's regained it. And he's understood that, no, I need to keep my faith. I need to believe in order to, well, not just get into the kingdom of heaven, but escape the snares and quicksands of this lying world.
To have that heart of a child in order to do that.
Yeah. Mm. And I think, you know, he was writing this, we're talking perhaps 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it captures that feeling that sometimes we all have when we look around us at this world of grown-ups, this world of adults, and think, this is not right.
Mm.
Especially, you know, when we see politicians talk, for example, not just here in Korea, in the US and the UK, elsewhere, you're thinking, what's going on?
Yeah, and I guess you do get jaded and you reach that stage where you're like, well, that's just normal. You know, that's just what politicians do.
But it shouldn't be.
No.
We're dealing with cases in the UK, most recently in the last few weeks, of certain politicians basically being discovered to have said really, really Islamophobic or racist comments.
Yeah.
And then some people defending them for it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is a couple of weeks ago here in Korea. There was a story on the news about the Korean Methodist Church, and they kicked out a minister. They basically excommunicated him, expelled him from the church, just because he blessed a group of LGBTQ plus people at a Pride festival.
Oh my goodness.
Here in Korea. Yeah. And it made me think of that news when I read this poem. It's like, what are you grown-ups doing?
Yeah.
Have you really looked around and said to yourself, is this right?
Mm.
And also I think of, you know, the question that I'm sure that Gusang must have asked himself, and I'm sure you growing up would have heard it, what would Jesus do? And it feels like that's the kind of question a child asks,
yeah.
You know, to the grown-ups. Why are you behaving in this way? Why is life so crammed full of lies?
Yeah.
You shout justice, yet you act unjustly. You mouth love, yet you hate each other. You advocate peace as you fight and kill.
That paragraph really got me.
Yeah.
All of those contradictions, right? I don't know. It might be easy to tie that up with religion. In some cases, it might be difficult as well. What was I reading about? I was listening about the life of Mother Teresa,
yeah.
Who, you know, has posthumously gone through the tumble dryer in many senses. But apparently she was like a stickler for religion, and she was never the one to say... She was like alleviating pain and suffering. She was, in fact, saying you had to suffer to get closer to God.
Yeah, and I think since her passing, people have realised that perhaps she was not the kind Mother Teresa figure that we imagined. She was actually a much more forceful figure who may have harmed as much as she helped some people.
Yeah, but apparently she was saying that's like part of the Catholic doctrine, like suffering brings you closer. If you don't know pain, then, you know, you can't get close to God. Just like this saying, if you don't have the heart of a child, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. These are all like religious mandates.
Yes, but one may argue that one may deal with one's own suffering, but one should never put suffering onto someone else for the sake of religion.
No, of course. Yeah, that's what I don't know. It depends on your point of view of religion a little bit and how you interpret this poem. Like,
yeah, but I think what he's saying is that we need to get back to the innocence of childhood and the truthfulness of children in the way that we act, the way that we behave, the way that we speak, the way that we treat others.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much bad from that. Although sometimes I look at my kids and I'm like, you're cynical little beings as well.
But they are your children, Peter.
They are. They must take after me. The second poem, still focused in on infants.
No, we're going to switch over to old age and old friends now. And I found this poem particularly interesting. And we'll talk about it after the reading. But I think you might enjoy this. It's called A Wry Smile. I went into Toksu Palace Gardens on my way to give a lecture for housewives. And there, sitting on a bench in the shade of the wisteria-covered pergola, was my sworn friend. But would you believe it? Well, sitting there, as bold as could be, elbow to elbow, with some young thing. I simply couldn't believe it of him. So I called out, "Old fellow!" to embarrass him. And he came across saying, "Are you jealous or something? Do as well as you can. I'm for the flower beds too," a bantering reply. But going on my way, I reflected. He's over 70, and his wife died last year. He's living alone in the flat, so maybe, I thought. When I came out after giving my talk, there was my friend, sitting downcast, alone on the bench. "Jilted already?" I asked mockingly. "My granddaughter, fallen in love, ran away from home, wanted to talk," he replied, smiling wryly. I likewise gave a wry smile, and together we strolled off towards our usual bar.
Oh, that's a twist.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
It's a lovely little poem there. He thinks one thing, he thinks the worst.
Yeah. Although, you know, I'm not to judge. Who knows what will happen in our later life as well.
We
Paul
don't
Matthews.
And again, that's the thing in that second stanza where suddenly he goes, well, actually, no, his wife passed away last year. He's lonely.
Yeah. You know, you can understand that.
And that's what I love, that from stanza one to stanza two to stanza three, we get these revelations each time. We're going through Gusang's thought process in that moment, seeing his friend, then thinking about it and feeling a bit bad for what he said, and then finding out the truth that it was his granddaughter who's run away.
Oh, I'd love to have a friend like that, that you're still meeting regularly, having a usual bar with, that you call your ajit or something like that in Korean, your tanggol. And then it seems like the drinking buddy as well was leading him on down that misthought as well.
Absolutely.
Initially.
And that's why I love it, the fact it's called A Wry Smile. Because you get the feeling that, just like on this show, I know sometimes our listeners worry that we fight and we squabble, but it's all good-natured.
Yes.
And it's it also feels very British. But reading this, you're thinking, no, Korea is closer to Britain in terms of cultural communication between men than we think sometimes.
Yeah, there are occasions with people I'm close to, or I get close to over a drink or two, and I'm like, oh, this would be totally the same banter that I'd have with mates back in the UK. And I thought the UK had a very specific, unique sense of that kind of brotherly, almost mocking of one another.
Yeah, they're gentle teasing or taunting. But no, it's here in Korea too.
Yeah.
And I love that, because this poem, it's distinctly Korean. We've got the Toksu Palace.
Yeah.
We've got the pagoda. We've got, you know, the situation. And yet, this could be happening in any country.
Yeah.
It's two old men who are too old for anything, basically, having a drink after a misunderstanding and having a laugh about it.
Oh, that's nice. I saw on social media the other day, this video popped up on my timeline that, you know, and it was in Korean, so I wonder if Koreans think this is less common. But, you know, you can have true love in old age. And it was all these video clips of old couples acting really sweetly, you know, like embracing one another, kissing one another in public and pulling out seats for one another. And yet I don't see that as much here, like two older people walking down the street holding hands. You know, it's a bit more common in the UK, I'd say.
I think it's hard to judge people from what they do in public when we don't know what they do in private.
That's true.
You know, some people are more private than others. And I think in Korea, especially for older folks, I think intimacy is less of a public thing and more of a private thing.
Yeah, that's true.
That said, what I love about Korea when I first came here, which I found really weird at first, was like, this guy's holding my hand as we walk down the street.
Yeah, I think
that's because we're friends.
I think that has gone on the wane a little bit. But yeah, when I first got here, especially older gentlemen, right? I found it at my company that I worked with for a little while, like the much older, almost uncle-like figure, when he got drunk, would definitely hold my hand in the restaurant and then walking down the street.
Exactly. Yes. Like I was having a meeting with a good friend and producer, a video producer of mine yesterday. And at one point, you know, closing the meeting, he put his hand on my knee.
Oh.
And the meaning of it was, and I took it as that being, you know, thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
So I think we don't celebrate male friendship enough sometimes.
You're right.
Because there can be toxicity between males, but also there can be this camaraderie that men need sometimes.
Oh, definitely need it. Tigris saying, yeah, we do that here in America as well. The friend that I've had for the last 25 years or so, we've bantered just like that. And it does seem sometimes the older generations are more conservative when it comes to public displays of affection. Certainly more so here as well. The generational differences are quite stark. We are going to get to a third and final poem after a song break. Do you just want to tee that up for us, Paul?
Well, again, we're going on a different tangent. We're dealing with nature and philosophy. The final poem I'm going to feature is called With Wild Flowers. And again, we're dealing with a different point of view from Gusang. In a flower pot, out on my veranda, where orchids had died off, a wild plant came up of its own accord and produced flowers like white dust. This single tiny plant, occupying this moment in eternity, occupying this place in infinity. The fact that it has borne flowers, the more I think about it, the more it seems mysterious beyond measure. Indeed, this being called I, too, occupying this moment in eternity, occupying this place in infinity, the fact that I am face to face with this wild flower, the more I think about it, the more it, too, seems mysterious beyond measure. And finally, as I muse over these things, I, escaping from the being called I and united with the wild flower, as one expression of eternity and infinity, as one part of eternity and infinity, as one love of eternity and infinity, now exist here.
that's very deep, isn't it, about it is. Nature? Aaron's saying, I think that nature and philosophy, don't they go hand in hand?
They do, certainly with the poetry of Gusang, and that's why I wanted to feature these three very different feelings. The first one, there's an anger, a righteous anger. Mm. The second one, there's a humour. The third, we're getting deep into thought here.
Yeah, just staring at a little wild flower and having all these thoughts come over you.
Yeah.
What's it trying to say? We're all part of eternity, infinity. That sounds kind of beautiful, almost meditative.
Yeah, and I think for me, and of course, views of poetry are always going to be subjective, it feels to me to be about the idea of being present.
Mm.
You know what I mean when I talk about being present?
In the moment, like mindfulness we talk about a lot these days.
Yeah, but it's just, yeah, literally sort of being there and appreciating the moment you're in. I think we're blessed and cursed as humans that we have past and future, that we have memories of what has been and we have dreams of what may be.
Yeah.
Most other living things on the planet, we think, we can't be sure, we think are living moment to moment. They are completely and totally present rather than wrapped up in their thoughts. And that is what it means to live.
Yeah.
And I think that's what everyone strives for. And when we talk about mindfulness and all this, it's basically just getting back to being a living being.
Sure,
and
right
actually
now.
Living. And it feels like as he gets into this poem, he loses himself. He becomes one with the wildflower.
Yeah.
And he has achieved this moment of presence. And I agree with you. You said meditative. Yeah. And I agree. This is absolutely, it seems like a moment of meditation. And what I really love is that here is this deeply Catholic poet getting really Buddhist, which is brilliant. It's this wonderful paradox. And it brings me to this other wonderful paradox about Korea. And if you haven't been in Korea, you may not realize that we are a country with two major religions, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are more religions out there, but
of course,
if we think of the two, they are
Christianity and Buddhism.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You will see crosses everywhere, but also in every neighborhood you will see temples.
Yes, and the Buddhist sign as well. And sometimes the temples are just like little rundown buildings and shacks.
Exactly,
as well,
or sometimes they're magnificent, almost palace-like structures. But in Korea, you can be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You can be Buddhist. You can be neither. You can be both.
Yes.
It's perfectly possible. There are some people who will go to church, but then the next day go to the temple and then go to the bar.
Of course.
And have no regrets of doing all of this. And I love that here in Korea, there are obviously religious tensions sometimes, especially with fundamentalist groups.
Sure.
But generally speaking, for ordinary citizens, Christianity and Buddhism can live side by side like this.
Yeah, there's no real contradiction. I guess it must have to do with Buddhism having such a long history here.
Yes.
Christianity then being much more modern in terms of it coming into Korea later. And then, I don't know, there are fanatical Christians for sure, but there are a lot of people who are not really anything, right?
Yeah.
Kind of just casual. Yeah.
Sure, and like I have, you know, relatives of my wife, my in-laws, who are like that, who will, you know, be Christian on one day and Buddhist on another, and it's all okay.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we have no clue as to what's out there. And faith, your own faith is your own faith. No one can dispute what you believe or what you feel in your heart.
Yeah.
And it feels like Gusang, coming to the autumn years of his life in this collection, he's found that for himself.
Yeah.
He's found a comfortable place to be, and he may have regrets, and he may worry about, you know, am I going to heaven or not? He may worry about the world. But at the same time, he has the capability to look at this wildflower and exist with it.
That's lovely. I'd love to. I don't think I've had a feeling like that where I feel like I am one with nature. Like I've been out and taken a deep breath and I feel really good, but I want to feel like that we're both eternity and infinity. But maybe I am too much concentrated on the past or the future or worrying.
It's a really difficult thing, especially I think for parents, because you're constantly worried about your family. You're constantly thinking, is everything okay? What's going on?
Yeah.
Your mind is always elsewhere, and it's very difficult to achieve that. I think you will, Peter, especially as your kids grow up more and they have their own time. But also, it's not making it happen, it's letting it happen.
Yeah, that's the tough thing, because I've like downloaded apps and watched videos to try meditation and try and, you know, get to that feeling of Zen. And yeah, the more you try, the less, the more far, the more distant it becomes. Yeah. Like they tell you that, but it's just so difficult.
I wonder, back when you were a kid in the UK, whether there were moments where you lay back on the grass in the park and you looked at the clouds and you were just there.
There's no thoughts in your head at all, right?
Yeah.
Or just staring at that, like, shard of light coming in through the curtains and looking at the dust kind of like just floating up. I remember doing that so often and just getting completely lost in a daydream. Yeah, that was wonderful.
But you can find that again. The problem is as we become grown-ups, we get these bad habits. And I think what this collection does as well is sort of remind us that we can go back to childhood. We can go back to this infant splendor. And no, it won't be quite the same. But we can practice in our lives to find a way to get back to this state of innocence, this state of peace, this state of presence.
Yeah.
And that we should all be striving for it, no matter what religion we are, no matter what we believe. We should be striving to make the world like the world we believed in when we were kids.
Yeah, it was such a different world, wasn't it? And it's not just that, you know, times are changing and things get more modern. It is that your perspective changes so much.
Yes, and that your belief was so strong. The beliefs of a child are far stronger than the beliefs of any adult.
That is true. I may well then go off on a silent little couple of minutes while on air. Yeah. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'm just having a moment.
That's all right. I can introduce next week's book. I'll give the online review as well.
Well, even when you're not here, Paul, okay. I hope you can take
you
up
what,
the slack.
For the next minute, I want you to just close your eyes. Okay. Just relax. I'm gonna talk for the next minute, so you don't need to talk. Okay?
If I snore, that's not snoring.
All right, it's just meditation. It's meditation. Yeah. It's the chanting.
Yes.
Yeah. So my one-line review for this book, for Infant Splendor, is a peaceful and sometimes humorous, very personal collection of poems. Next week we're going to science fiction. It's a collection called Ready Made Bodhisvata. And we're going to do the title story from that book by Park Sung-hwan, translated by Ji-hyun Park and Gord Seller. I'd like to thank, as always, our listeners, but also the Literature Translation Institute of Korea for their help with copyright permission for this broadcast. Thank you to the dear departed Gusang for his beautiful poetry, and to Brother Anthony for his wonderful translation. I will be back next week with another book. I promise you that.
Oh wow, I was getting into the zone,
I'm
and
sure
then it all
were.
Came to an end. Oh, that sounds linked to Buddhism next week as well. The title.
I do try and plan my books, you know.
Not often.
Well, no.
Okay. Well, Paul, thank you ever so much for your beautiful readings.
Always a pleasure.
We will see you next Wednesday.
See ya.
You can listen to Check It Out with Paul Matthews on Arirang Radio's hashtag Daily K every Wednesday from 10 a.m. KST.